Lightning flashes, and a title appears in green letters, Bride of Boogedy.
The house on the hill, don't you?
Yes.
And Mr. and Mrs. Davis? Nice people. As soon as they moved into that house, things began to happen.
What?
Noises. Strange, creaking noises in the middle of the night, and only the children could hear them. It was ghosts. It was Mr. Boogedy.
He startles as an owl perches nearby.
Mr. Boogedy was a horrible ghost who had a magic cloak that gave him terrible powers, and he could do anything, anything, except for one thing. He couldn't get to Marion. The ghost of the beautiful widow Marion, whom he loved more than anything in this world. And do you know what?
What?
He was trapped in the Davis house with the ghost of Marion's little son, Jonathan, for over 300 years. Boogedy couldn't get out. And so he got angrier and angrier and angrier. Corwin and Ari made friends with Jonathan, and they tricked Mr. Boogedy. They took his cloak, and he vanished. But maybe Mr. Boogedy didn't really disappear at all. Maybe he's just hiding.
A close view shows a parked car's headlights flickering. They turn off, and a man wearing a suit jacket steps out of the vehicle. He gazes up at the Davis house, illuminated by lightning. The man slaps his car's hood, then grabs a suitcase from the back seat. He glances around as he approaches the house. Inside, a dark-haired man, Carlton, fixes prop cobwebs on the wall.
He's coming! Hide! Eloise! Hurry up!
All right.
Eloise!
A woman in white wears spooky makeup.
Do I have enough?
Cover your face. Yes. Okay, you have enough. Here, gotta put it on the light. Okay.
She wears a stocking over her face, and he hangs a light around her neck. Outside, the visitor walks under fake cobwebs hanging from the trees. He startles slightly and looks off. Peering into the darkness, he watches rustling branches. The man stares at the area as he continues up the wooded path. A shadow appears in the upstairs window of the house, then moves away. The house lights turn off. Approaching the home, the visitor holds his hat down as the wind blows. He glances back, then trots up the porch steps. A skull decoration hangs on the door. The visitor pushes down the jaw of the door knocker. The door opens by itself. The man lingers on the porch.
Hello?
Stepping inside, he glances around. He puts down his luggage and hat.
Anybody home?
Fake cobwebs cover small statues. Wiping his brow, the man stares at a floating violin that plays itself. In her ghostly costume, Eloise emerges at the top of the stairs. She wears a hood, and the flashlight shines on her face from below.
Elmer!
The door shuts, and Elmer tries to open it. He backs into the cobwebs stretched across the room. Eloise follows. In a coffin, a kid in a similar costume sits upright. A small, ghostly figure approaches from another room.
Spiders! The spiders!
Spiders! The spiders!
Beware the spiders!
Beware the
spiders!
Spiders! What? Spiders! What? Spiders!
A giant spider drops on Elmer. The lights turn on. Eloise gleefully jumps around while the boys high-five.
What'd you think, Elmer? You guys were great. Elmer.
Carlton.
Wasn't that great, huh? Give me a hand.
Carlton's fake hand comes off.
You rascal.
Good one, Dad.
And you guys, you little guys, are supposed to be my buddy.
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
Eloise laughs.
Every time I come see you, you pull one on me.
Weren't they great?
You were great. You were, oh.
My old sister!
In the woods, a teenage girl trudges up the dark path.
Falls.
Carrying a backpack and book, she glances around.
This place gives me the creeps.
In the house.
Boys, where's Uncle Elmer's coffee?
It's coming.
Oh, aren't you guys gonna join me?
Yeah,
isn't that cream, Uncle Elmer?
Oh, sure. It's,
He spots the gag creamer carton.
Good one, son. Thanks, good one.
Dad. You!
That's twice. Come here, you.
Here comes the cake.
Yeah. You're gonna get yours.
Did we really fool you?
Yeah.
Boogity boogity.
We're gonna get you too, Carl.
Yeah, I'll be waiting.
Yeah.
Did you like the spider, Uncle Elmer?
Oh, and I love the spider.
Yeah, me too.
Where's Jennifer?
Oh, babysitting.
She should be home by now.
She hopes she's okay.
Oh, one thing about Lucifer Falls, Elm. You're as safe out there as you are in your own living room.
In the dark woods, Jennifer nervously continues up the path. A spying view watches her. In the house, the family eats cake.
So,
Eloise clears cobwebs off Elmer.
What is this, Lucy Fest?
Oh, it's the Lucifer Falls annual festival. They've been having it since the Pilgrims.
That's lots of fun, Elmer. You ought to come.
I don't know how to deliver a whole shipment of joy buzzers to Schenectady.
You can still come.
Yeah, and don't forget, it's the only carnival in the whole world with a super-duper supernatural third eye, huh?
Carlton and the boys stick third eye buttons on their heads. In the woods.
Hate it. I wish we'd never moved here.
Jennifer stops and looks around.
Hello?
We watch her through dense branches.
Is anybody there?
And Elmer. Guess who was elected this year's honorary mayor of the Lucy Fest?
No.
Elmer grins.
Carlton?
What can I say, Elm? These are my kind of people.
Carlton puts a mask on a teddy bear in the woods.
Jennifer Davis. It's Mr. Boogity. Get out of my house!
Jennifer runs from the shadowy figure.
Carlton, you are really too much. Look at this place. And this town. I mean, really. Don't you think it's a little bit, rustic?
Yeah, isn't it great? We love it here.
Yeah, we like it here.
Yeah.
Sure you do. Listen to me, will you, buddy? I've got great news. The company wants you back. You're too good for Lucifer Falls.
But we just got here.
Our new house.
Our store.
You told me you hadn't even found a place for the store yet.
Well,
listen to me. The home office wants to promote you. They want to make you senior whoopee manager for the entire Gag City Eastern Region.
Oh, Carlton. It's what you've always wanted.
Oh, Dad. Come on, Dad.
Carlton shares a look with his wife.
No.
No?
What What can I say, Elm? Maybe I'm corny, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but Lucifer Falls is my kind of town. A place we can raise our family, a place we can call home.
Jennifer runs to the house.
Good heavens, Carl, what was that?
Jennifer?
What happened, sweetheart?
It's Mr. Boogity. I saw him. He's back.
Uh-huh, yeah, sure you did.
It was really him.
Was he real big and scary?
Daddy, did he drool all over you?
Did he bite your neck?
Carlton! Honey, we got rid of Mr. Boogity. Remember, he's never coming back.
I saw him. Daddy, he was wearing his magic cloak and his pilgrim hat.
No.
Yes! he rose from the bushes.
Sounds like it might be a good idea to start considering my offer, buddy.
Look, honey, I'm sure it was someone else. Maybe the paper boy.
That's right. He has been running late.
In a pilgrim's hat.
Well, this is New England.
Outside, Jennifer leads her family through the woods. She points.
There. He was right there.
They startle. Carlton aims a flashlight. Corwin throws a rock.
Corwin!
The others grin.
Oh, Jennifer! You're a baby.
Yeah, Jennifer.
All right, boys, that's enough.
Boogity, ghost, come on. I gotta hit the road.
Yeah. Right. Come on, guys. Uncle Elm's got a long drive home.
They hold boxes from Elmer's car.
Now, I want you guys to realize that those are the state-of-the-art in dribble glasses, okay? And, as for you, little buddy, you better be careful. Because I'm going to get even with you for that spider business.
I'll be waiting.
Yeah, you'll be waiting. You just... What is that?
Carlton squirts water. Homer wipes his face and gets in the car.
Gag City!
All right, Dad. Good one.
All right,
Dad.
I love you.
Elmer.
Okay. Drive safe now. Drive safe. He always does, honey. He's just like you.
The kids follow their parents.
Come on, boys.
The brothers trail behind.
I can't wait to try the glasses out.
I know. I bet they're so neat. Did you hear that, Corwin?
Yeah. Maybe it was just the wind.
But it sounded like Boogity.
I know.
At a meeting.
May I speak?
Jennifer remembers Boogity.
My house!
We have had this carnival for as long as I can remember.
That must be a very long time.
Well, Mrs. Hooter, I've had warts for as long as I can remember. So what?
Why does he do this? Every year he does this.
He's always causing trouble.
Well, somebody has to keep you people on your toes. Lord knows this bonehead Davis won't.
You can't do this. We've been planning this carnival for months.
Right. Well, you should have talked to me first.
Oh, Mr. Lynch, be reasonable. The town cannot afford it. The carnival barely breaks even as it is.
That's right.
You've never charged us to use your property before.
That's right. Well, I was always honorary mayor before now, wasn't I?
The Davis family sits on a platform at the front of the crowd.
Now, listen, if you people have a problem, then why don't you talk to Mr. Big City Hotshot Davis? In fact, maybe we have the carnival in his house.
Carlton leans close to Eloise.
Why don't we just have the carnival in the town square?
Town square?
Why not?
Sure.
Town square. The town square.
Lynch looks around the crowd.
All right, now listen, everybody. I never said that, you know, we shouldn't discuss this openly. You can keep your cow pasture.
Mr. Davis was right. We'll hold the carnival in the square.
Yeah. In the square. All right, now maybe I was just a little hasty.
And as I recall, the original Lucifer Falls Festival was held in the square.
Right you are, Mrs. Hooter.
Well, you're making a big mistake. I'm warning you.
The man in the colonial outfit bangs a gavel. Jennifer and Corwin grin.
I think Mr. Davis
has something to say.
Ari smiles and climbs off his dad's lap. Carlton takes off his pilgrim's hat, decorated with a third eye button, and stands.
Would Paris tear down the Eiffel Tower?
No!
Would Egypt level the pyramids?
No!
Would Arizona fill in the Grand Canyon?
No!
And are we going to cancel Lucy Fest, the only carnival with a super-duper, supernatural third eye?
No!
The townspeople stick third eye buttons on their foreheads, then give a standing ovation. Still sitting, Lynch glares. The man in the colonial outfit shakes hands with Carlton. Later, the crowd leaves the Historical Society. A man points to the third eye button still on Carlton's head.
Just kidding.
Carlton grins and takes it off.
Thank you so much.
He shakes hands with Mrs. Hooter, who joins Jennifer.
Are you enjoying your new house, dearie?
Jennifer wears a confused look. Lynch sits alone in a meeting room.
I don't know what I have to do. Maybe I was a little hasty. You'd think I was asking for their firstborn. It's just a little rent.
In town.
Oh.
Well, here it is, guys, our new store. Isn't it great?
You're gonna love it.
I don't know. I like the boards, Eloise. I think we should leave them up.
And the cobwebs, too.
Please tell me you're kidding.
I don't know, Dad.
I don't agree. Very original.
Well, you don't know how we looked and looked.
I guess we just got lucky.
The front door falls in.
Well, here we go. The big moment. Let's go.
But, Dad, it's dark in there.
Well, maybe later, Dad. I think we should go home now.
The family and the man in the colonial outfit enter a dungeon-like room. A chained skeleton sits on a pile of hay.
Oh, Carl, don't move. It looks like there's somebody in there.
No, honey. You really think so?
Lots of somebodies.
Yeah. Daddy, let's get out of here.
Yeah. No, no, no. Wait, wait. I think we should stay and find out who it is. Maybe it's customers.
Gotta be kidding.
The man in the colonial outfit pushes a large lever and lights turn on.
Oh, look, it's a wax museum.
Mr. Hamilton's House of Horrors.
You mean Mr. Davison's House of Gags.
What happened to Mr. Hamilton?
He disappeared one day without a trace. Left everything just as you see it.
Quite a story. I'll tell you all about it one day.
Can hardly wait.
Hey, guys, look what's for dinner. Potluck.
A wax figure sits in a large pot.
Oh, Carlton's so excited about this.
What's he doing?
I love it when he gets like this.
Guys, come here.
They look at a wax couple.
Oh, look. It's Jack the Ripper!
And Mrs. Ripper!
Carlton hides a wax figure.
Hey, guys, look. Werewolf.
He reveals it.
Werewolf.
Mr. Davis, we need to talk.
A woman taps him.
Right now.
He notices her.
Hey, this one's real.
Bright boy.
This is Madalenska. She lives on the edge of town. She knows things.
Do you know how to ride a skateboard? Or do percentages?
You better pay attention, my little friends, because your family is in deep trouble. Follow me.
Sitting before a crystal ball, Madalenska motions the others into a room.
Goodness, a crystal bowling ball.
They sit at the table.
You tell fortunes with an electric crystal ball?
Honey, this is the 20th century.
She holds a plug.
Here, make yourself useful.
Corwin takes it.
This could be fun.
Shh. Madalenska must concentrate.
The ball glows.
I'm beginning to see things. A truck. With clowns trying to get out?
That's our truck.
Oh, I see. Then the clowns are already here.
Let me see! Ari, would you go sit down?
Boys.
Madalinska's hands shake beside her crystal ball. An image appears in it.
Mr. Bullity!
Nice trick.
No tricks. Mr. Bugatti, he's coming back!
No, impossible. No, we chased him away.
Carlton's right. We all saw him disappear.
I told you I saw him.
Now, honey.
Kitty!
He's still nearby.
The ball shows Bugatti's rotted face. In the bright town square, people clean up the sidewalk and a gazebo. Jennifer follows Corwin and Ari, who pretend to sword fight with rolled-up posters. Wearing a pilgrim's hat, Mrs. Hooter holds her cloak open as she walks past. A glimpse shows the silhouette of Bugatti in his similar hat and cloak.
Jennifer Davis, it's Mr. Bugatti. Get out of my house!
Jennifer wears an uneasy look. She enters a building.
Guys, hurry up.
She bumps into a mannequin in a cloak and pilgrim's hat. The man in the colonial outfit sets his hands on her shoulders.
He shouldn't be here, should he?
The boys enter.
Hi, Mr. Witherspoon. Dad wanted us to give you one.
Hmm. Oh, very nice. I'll put it in the window.
He sets down the Gag City poster.
What are you doing?
Making ice cream. For the carnival.
Oh, cool. Me!
Would you like to try some? I'm working on some new flavors.
New flavors?
Spinach with crunchy bacon bits.
Ew. No, thank you. Not for me.
Forget it.
Okay.
He samples it.
Mmm.
Mr. Witherspoon, that gypsy woman. Can she really see things with her crystal ball?
Oh, yes. Many things.
Does that mean Mr. Boogity's gonna come back?
Well, this being Lucifer Falls...
He leans close.
I'd say it's a definite maybe.
Oh, come on, Corin!
I'm coming.
They leave.
Bye.
Wait a minute! Know anything. He's just trying to scare you.
We're not scared. You're the one who's scared.
Yeah.
Me? You're the one who took his magic cloak. If he comes back, he's going after you.
Oh, yeah? So what? I don't even care. Come on, Corwin.
The brothers walk off, and Jennifer follows.
Ari, Corwin. I didn't mean it.
Witherspoon watches from the door of his historical society. The kids enter Lynch's general store.
Hello? Anybody here? Mr. Lynch?
They approach the counter.
Hey, we brought you a poster.
Oh, is that so? And what if I don't want one?
Hey, look, Horn. He says funny faces.
Ari wears glasses with one plastic eye missing.
These are no good.
Hey, what are you trying to do? Ruin my business?
Oh, look. Chattering tea.
Give me that.
And Groucho glasses.
And rubber snakes. Hey, what are you guys looking at?
And spiders.
Great.
Oh, yuck.
A toy falls apart.
What's wrong with these things?
What's wrong with it? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. Bad little boys and girls that like to touch and break things.
We didn't break anything.
Yeah. It was already broken. It's all old stuff.
Oh, a real expert, huh? 5 years old, and I guess you know everything.
I'm not 5 years old.
I'll show you how it works.
Lynch looks into a small kaleidoscope.
You have to give it a little turn, that's...
It leaves a black ring around his eye.
Well, it needs a small adjustment is all.
You don't have to be so mean.
We can't help it if you sew broken junk.
Ah, well, I suppose your father, the genius, sells better junk, huh? Five'll get you 10. His stuff wasn't even made in America. We don't want your kind here in Lucifer Falls. And we certainly don't need another joke store. We got all the jokes this town can handle right here.
This is a hardware store.
Oh, is that so? Well, it just so happens this is a general store, little Miss Know-It-All.
Get out of my house!
Jennifer stares at a black cloak and pilgrim's hat hanging nearby. Lynch follows her gaze.
What are you looking at?
Nothing.
Did your father send you here to spy on me?
Spy on you?
Lynch rips up the Gag City poster.
What are you doing?
Hey, what'd you do that for?
I don't like posters.
So? You didn't have to tear it up.
I don't like carnivals. And I don't like kids, so go on, get out of here.
Come on, guys.
Scram! Go on.
The siblings leave.
You should have moved out of that house when you had the chance.
They pass a woman with a gag invisible dog leash.
So, tried to pull a fast one on me, huh, Davis? Well, when I get through with you, you're gonna be sorry you ever moved to Lucifer Falls.
Lynch grins. Removing his glasses, he holds the kaleidoscope up to his other eye. He turns it, then lowers it to reveal a black ring marking his face. Lynch studies the toy.
Yeah. Junk.
At the Davis house.
He was terrible. He tore up the poster right in front of us.
Oh, honey, there's no need for bad feelings. Once Mr. Lynch gets to know you better, he won't be so grouchy.
Daddy's right, Jennifer. Besides, Mr. Lynch has been in town a very long time.
But that doesn't give him the right to be nasty to us.
Sweetheart, I'll tell you what. I'll go talk to him.
Jennifer sits at the table.
What are you gonna say?
Carlton wears a thoughtful look.
Boogity, boogity, boom!
Eloise hits him.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
The boys wear distant looks.
Hey, guys, what's the matter?
They share a glance.
Mr. Boogity.
Boogity again.
Carlton glances around at his family.
Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we have our own booth at the carnival? How does that sound?
Yeah, we can't. We promised we'd have Gag City open house that night.
No, wait, but we can have the booth inside the store.
Yeah. Oh, gee, what kind of booth?
I don't know. We'll think of something. Hey, guys, look. Look what I got special for the carnival.
He opens the fridge.
A new mask.
Ooh. Oh, gosh, can I see?
Sure. Oh, no, honey, look.
Oh, no.
There's a spot on the nose.
Oh.
Look, Ari.
The mask sprays water on Ari's face. Ari shakes his head.
Come on, guys, it's a joke.
He puts a hand on Carlton's arm.
Good one, Dad.
Thanks, son.
Ari leaves. Corwin solemnly pats his dad's shoulder and follows Jennifer out of the kitchen.
I thought that was funny. Didn't you think that was funny?
The mask sprays Carlton. Jennifer passes the boys' room.
Jennifer?
She looks in at her brothers.
What?
Do you think Boogie's gonna come back and get us?
No. But you saw him.
Maybe I didn't. Maybe Daddy was right.
Ari glances at Corwin beside him.
Good night, Jennifer.
Good night, guys.
Get in the bed.
Later, a close view shows a skeleton near the boy's window. It wears a see-through necktie filled with a red substance. Toys and other items clutter a dresser. Corwin sleeps in bed. He startles slightly as he wakes. With an uneasy look, he sits up and scans the room. Corwin grabs a flashlight and shines it around the dark space. He furrows his brow as his eyes dart about. Training the light on one area, he climbs out of bed. Corwin shines the light at his brother's face and slaps his arm.
Ari. Ari, wake up.
What?
I heard something.
You did?
Downstairs. Come on.
Aiming the flashlight, Corwin slowly descends the steps. He waves, and Ari follows him. Corwin looks back at his younger brother. They continue to the main floor. Wearing robes over their pajamas, the boys cautiously walk through the foyer. They startle. They continue through the shadowy home. The brothers approach the kitchen. Staying close, Ari looks up at Corwin.
What do you think it is?
I don't know.
Maybe it's Dad.
Corwin nods faintly. The boys walk through the room toward the kitchen entrance. They quickly turn to the side and share a glance. Corwin opens a door. The brothers walk down the steps to the dark basement. A spying view watches them through a wire mesh. Corwin shines the light.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Did you hear it?
With an incredulous look, Corwin shakes his head. They continue forward, passing stored items. Stopping, they look to the floor. Corwin points.
Look!
He shines the light on an old key, which glows green.
Let me see.
Ari picks it up. Corwin stares at the key with a slight grin. They look ahead, and Ari's mouth drops open. A rectangular green portal appears a short distance away. The boys step closer. They kneel, and Corwin aims the flashlight at a keyhole within the glowing frame. Ari moves the key toward it.
Careful.
He inserts the key. In a flash, the boys appear before an inscription on the base of a statue.
Hey, Corwin.
They look around a foggy graveyard.
Where are we? How did we get here?
I don't know.
Boogity stands over them.
It's Boogity! We gotta get out of here! Hurry! Hurry! Hurry up! I'm trying! My legs won't move! Help me! I don't want to get me!
The boys fall.
Run, Corwin! Run! Don't let him catch you!
It's Jonathan!
Boogity looms over them. His body and eyes glow green. In their bedroom, the boys jolt awake. In the basement, they stand with Jennifer and their parents.
Okay, so you came down the stairs and you saw a big green flashing skeleton, right?
No, Dad. It was a skeleton key, and it wasn't flashing.
And the key was right here.
Right here?
Mm-hmm. And the door was right here.
Okay, now we're getting someplace. No key. No door. You know why?
Why?
Because it was a dream.
But it seemed so real. We both saw him.
He was chasing us.
Only he was different. Like a statue.
And Jonathan was there too.
It was a dream, guys. Just a dream.
You know, I once dreamed a hedgehog was chasing after me in an ambulance.
Jennifer rolls her eyes.
Daddy, Corwin and Ari can't dream the same dream at the same time.
Why not, honey? I mean, they're brothers, right? They have the same house, same mom and dad, same big sister. Why not the same dreams?
Because it's impossible.
Is that a reason?
Yes.
Honey, as you get older, you'll find that if you put your mind to it, nothing is impossible.
I found the key!
That's impossible.
Corwin takes it from Ari.
That's it, all right?
Okay, let me see it.
He hands it to their father, who studies the old key.
Joey's, I think someone is playing a little joke here. See, this is not the key. It's not glowing green.
But, Dad, it was glowing green!
Your daddy always says, never kid a kidder.
Daytime.
This just doesn't make sense. Listen, Daddy, I've been thinking about this all night.
A grapefruit squirts his goggles.
Are you listening?
He squeegees them.
Okay, say it was a dream. What about the gypsy woman? She also warned us that Boogity was coming back.
That's right, Dad.
Yeah.
Honey, those people don't really tell fortunes. It's just like professional wrestling. It looks good.
But what if he is coming back? What if he's appearing to Corin and Ari in their dreams?
Yeah, Dad. You didn't believe in ghosts either. Until Mr. Boogity nearly blew up the house.
A day that shall live in infamy.
Yeah, guys, it's kind of like, I don't know, Elvis Presley. He's not coming back. I mean, you'd practically need a seance just to talk to the guy. Wait! That's it!
What?
A seance!
To talk to Mr. Boogity?
No. For our carnival booth. We can set up a seance right in the store.
What a wonderful idea. Oh, I like that. Carl, you're such a genius.
Thank you.
The kids share looks. In town, Lynch pushes a baby carriage away, then continues down the sidewalk. Mrs. Hooter follows.
Oh, Mr. Lynch, must you hurry away so fast?
What is it, Mrs. Hooter?
Oh, I don't suppose you've changed your mind. You know, some of us would really miss you if you didn't participate in the carnival.
Well, I'm afraid I have more important things to do that evening.
You do?
Yes, I'll be changing the shelf paper in my kitchen.
Oh, now you're acting like a spoiled little boy. Do you know Mr. Davis is really quite a lot of fun when you get to know him? And he has some wonderful costumes in his store.
Oh, so you've been shopping in his store too, have you? I see being honorary mayor hasn't hurt his business.
Oh, so that's still bothering you, is it?
Oh, good day, Mrs. Hooter. I'm a busy man.
Oh.
She leaves. Lynch looks at the Gag City storefront behind him. He peers in through the window. A woman and two kids leave the shop with bags.
Now wait till you get home.
The boy sticks a third eye button on Lynch's forehead.
Why don't you teach these kids some manners?
They leave.
Go on.
Stepping away from the storefront, Lynch peers at the button on his head. He takes it off and studies it.
Gag City.
Dark clouds billow in the sky. In the foggy woods, Jennifer walks with Ari and Corwin.
Jennifer, are you sure it's okay to be here?
We have to find out what's going on. Yeah, Ari.
I know that.
Why is it so foggy here? I don't know.
They arrive at a gate.
It's creepy.
Look! That's him!
They walk through a graveyard to a statue.
Is this how it was last night?
Kind of. Only it was darker.
Jennifer pulls Ari away.
Let's get out of here.
A somber-faced man with a shovel stands in their path.
It's a statue.
We knew that. Who are you?
I'm Lazarus. I dig graves.
Sounds like fun. We gotta go.
Wait. Don't you want to see it?
He blocks them with his shovel, and they back away. They approach the statue depicting a pilgrim.
It's been here as long as the graveyard. Maybe longer.
Who's it of?
An old pilgrim. His name? William Hanover.
They stare at the inscription.
That's Mr. Boogity.
Lazarus slowly nods. The group steps away, leaving Ari alone.
Do you know about Mr. Boogity?
William Hanover became Mr. Boogity after his deal with the devil.
But you haven't seen him lately, have you?
Or anything else with shiny green eyes?
Things are pretty dead around here.
Ari turns away from the statue.
Wait for me!
He runs after the others. In the dark town, they approach the Gag City storefront.
Mom and Dad are practicing for a seance.
Lazarus starts to leave.
Looks closed.
Come on.
They step inside. The wax figures wear goofy disguises and hold gag toys.
I don't believe it. I guess Mom and Dad have been decorating. Check out the Ripper.
The figure wears a red nose and large white gloves.
Fascinating.
Hey, come on.
Come on.
Let's go find Mom and Dad.
Let's go.
They pass through a curtain.
Good evening. Welcome to Madame Elevator's.
Mom.
Won't you sit down? Have a seance with her?
I must do a weatherspoon.
Shh! The spirits are everywhere.
Do sit down. It's so dark in here. We have asked these people to come to help us practice contacting the spirits.
Who's your friend?
Eloise eyes Lazarus, who takes off his hat.
I'm Lazarus.
We found him in a graveyard.
Evening, Mr. Witherspoon.
Good evening, Lazarus.
Lazarus wants to be in the carnival.
Yeah, he's practicing to be a ventriloquist.
I can also do a hula hoop.
Madame Elevis once had a hula hoop. Please sit down.
Hey, yeah. Is that you?
Carlton works a sound station.
Attention to what's behind the curtain. There is no one behind the curtain. Now we will contact the spirits. Okay.
Right, Mom.
A toy phone sits on the table.
We must hold hands. Good. I am now calling the spirits. Calling the spirits.
The light over the table flickers.
Spirits are here. Is there someone you would like to talk to? Alexander the Great? Julius Caesar? Pinky Lee?
Oh, master of the spirit world, we wish to talk with whomever's hand.
The toy phone rolls across the table. Behind the curtain, Carlton makes noises with various items.
Is Jennifer Davis there?
Right here, Daddy.
The master of spirits does not respond to the name Daddy, Jennifer.
Is there someone special you would like to talk to?
Do ask for someone scary, dear.
She stares at Mrs. Hooter.
I don't think so.
Okay, be that way if you want to, Jennifer.
Is Walter Witherspoon there?
Yes, I'm right here.
As Eloise moves her hands under the table, the phone rolls to Witherspoon.
I think it's for you.
How exciting!
He briefly rubs his hands together, then picks up the plastic receiver.
Hello?
Outside, the shadow of a person in a hat and cloak appears on a brick wall. The person turns to the side. In Gag City, the lights flicker as Witherspoon holds the toy phone to his ear.
Walter Witherspoon, is there someone scary you would like to talk to?
Scary? Like a ghost?
Outside, the shadow passes over the brick wall. A dark figure briefly obscures our view.
Like Mr. Boogity?
In the graveyard, lightning flashes over the statue of William Hanover. The eyes flash green. In Gag City.
Did you guys plan this?
No!
Are we supposed to hear Mr. Boogity now?
These things aren't real. You know?
We know.
I can't come back. You chased me.
We can't hear you. The connection is weak thing.
Sorry about that.
I can't come back. because you chased me away forever, and you beat me up and stole my magic globe.
In the graveyard, the statue's glowing eyes flicker.
Mr. Boogity, Walter Witherspoon here.
Eloise rolls her eyes at the noises.
We all want to know what you have in store for us.
Nothing.
Witherspoon mouths nothing.
I can do nothing.
Are you sure? Are you absolutely 100% sure you won't come back?
Oh, yes. I'm absolutely sure. It's out of my hands now.
Outside, gloved hands pry open an old wooden door.
I can never come back. I'm so sad. Boogity, boogity, boo.
Wearing the gloves, hat, and cloak, Lynch pulls wires from a fuse box. Electricity flows up his arms to his hair, knocking the hat off. It surges up a nearby pipe.
That's good.
The electricity travels to Carlton's microphone and shocks him. A glowing green orb emerges from Gag City and zips away. In the dark graveyard, lightning splits the statue in half vertically. Glowing circles pulsate within the gap, and Mr. Boogity's ghost appears. At home, Ari wears a bird mask as he sits with Jennifer and Corwin at the table. He lifts his mask and peeks at his sister.
Stop.
Jennifer eyes the boy suspiciously. Corwin hides his grin. Jennifer raises her glass of milk, and it spills from a hole in the cup.
Very funny. Will somebody get me a real glass?
Eloise pats her daughter's shoulder. Carlton joins them.
Eloise, look at this. He completely wrecked my microphone. I'm gonna get him for this.
Get who?
Look.
They check the inside of a hat.
T.R. Lynch. I should have known. That's terrible.
Do you believe it? A grown man acting like a little boy.
Are you gonna beat him up?
Yeah, Dad. Let's punch his lights out.
We'll form a lynch mob. We'll lynch.
Carlton, I think you boys are getting out of hand. Now, this isn't gonna help matters any.
Mom's right, guys. I mean, just because he ruined my good microphone and practically electrocuted me, I'll blow up his store.
Yeah!
Shh!
What?
What was that? There's someone outside.
Yeah.
Mommy, I'm scared.
Shh. Carlton peeks out the curtained window as Eloise stands with the kids.
It's Lynch. He must have followed us home.
Can you see him?
No, he's hiding. Coward.
Well, let's go get him.
Yeah.
Now, Carlton, remember, you're an adult. I don't want any fighting.
Come on.
Eloise, this is different. He's sneaking up on our house. This is war.
Yeah, Ma. War.
Dad's right. We can't let him get away with that.
Okay, you guys stay here and protect the women.
Dad, take this.
Thanks, son. Is it loaded?
Corwin hands him ping pong balls.
Just in case.
Check.
Wielding the toy gun, Carlton carefully opens the kitchen door. Eloise and the kids step to the windows as he sneaks outside. In the dark woods.
Oh, Mr. Lynch, I think I see you. Are you over here?
The family watches from the house.
Can you see anything?
Okay.
Just your father.
Are you over here?
Carlton stumbles through the dense brush.
Who's that? What's going on?
He aims the ping pong ball shooter.
Boogity, is that you?
You.
Pulsing green ovals appear. They flicker near Carlton's face, then turn into a cluster of green specks. Carlton waves at the cluster, then stops as the ovals return.
Why is it just standing?
I don't know. I hope he didn't forget his slippers.
Davis.
Now, look here. Don't you think enough is enough? Why don't you just go someplace else? Why don't you...
We glimpse Boogity at the graveyard.
Davis, bring me my cloak.
In the woods, electric particles flicker on Carlton's hair, eyebrows, and mustache. His hair sticks up, and steam billows from his ears. In the house, the family hurries to the kitchen as Carlton returns.
I guess he's gone, guys.
Boogity.
What did you say, Daddy?
I guess he's gone, guys.
His eyes flash green and he leaves. Lying in bed, Jennifer writes in a journal.
Nobody ever listens to me. Nobody ever, ever listens to me.
She stares off. Setting her journal aside, Jennifer gets out of bed and steps to the doorway. In the hall, Carlton floats horizontally through the air. He holds a chattering teeth toy.
Daddy?
Just kidding, just kidding.
Carlton floats to the next room and rotates. Stepping into the dark hallway, Jennifer watches them. He floats toward her feet first. Jennifer hurries away.
Bye.
In her room, Eloise wears a sleep mask.
Mom, Mom, wake up.
Carl. Oh, Jennifer, what's going on?
It's Daddy.
Where?
He's acting funny.
Funny. Okay.
She settles back in.
Mom, this is different. Floating down the hallway, like in a horror movie or something.
With a glass of milk, Carlton steps to the doorway.
What's going on?
Oh, Jennifer was worried about you, dear.
He quickly drinks all the milk through his straw.
Why?
I don't know. Go back to sleep, sweetie, or you'll be tired in the morning.
Jennifer stares at Carlton as she leaves.
Right, honey.
Glowing green ovals bubble from his mouth. Daytime, at the Historical Society.
Please, Mr. Witherspoon, you've got to help us. My father was floating down the hallway last night.
Well, your father is strange.
Maybe, but even he can't float in midair.
Yeah, and this morning, I saw him in the living room. And his eyes were all shiny and green, like little light bulbs.
And it wasn't a mask.
And what did he do next?
He smiled at me, real funny-like, and said, Boogity.
Boogity?
Boogity.
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 So what do you think?
Something very strange happened.
That's what we've been trying to tell you.
I'm not talking about your father. Look.
He shows a mannequin in only underwear.
What happened to her clothes?
When I opened the Historical Society this morning, they were gone.
So, what's so special about an old pilgrim's costume?
This costume used to belong to the widow Marion.
The ghost lady?
The woman Boogity was in love with?
That's right. And now it's missing.
I don't get it. Who would want to take that?
At Gag City, Carlton holds a pilgrim's dress up to a wax figure. He stares across the room at Eloise.
Marion.
You're mumbling, honey.
Look what I brought you. A great new costume. You can wear it at the carnival.
Oh, Carlton, I love it. Oh, do you think it'll go with the seance? Oh, what the heck? It's a little dusty, though. Not now, honey. I'd better go clean it.
He tries to grab her, but she leaves.
Boogity.
His eyes glow green as he follows. In his store, Lynch cleans a window. He sneers at townspeople outside preparing for the carnival.
I hope it rains.
At Gag City.
Carlton?
Eloise wears the pilgrim costume.
Well, Carlton, what do you think of?
Staring at her, he pets the werewolf wax figure.
Marion!
Carlton!
She shows off the dress.
Come to me!
She feigns being pulled. Carlton tries to grab her.
Oh, Carlton, your hands are filthy, the dress.
Marion, I want you.
Honey, it's Eloise.
I want to marry you.
Cut it out, Carlton.
I'm not Carlton.
Okay, who are you?
Boogity, boogity.
Eloise falls back and watches beside a vampire wax figure.
Boogity, boogity.
Carlton's coveralls inflate.
Boogity.
He rises into the air.
Boogity.
The wax figures appear to stare at him.
I think we have a problem.
On a motorcycle, Madalinska arrives outside the Davis house. Witherspoon rides in the sidecar.
Walter, the bag.
Removing her spiked helmet, she takes a bowling ball bag from him. Inside, Eloise opens the door.
So how bad is it?
Pretty bad.
They stare at Carlton floating down from above. He beckons them, then holds his arms up.
Now that's something you don't see every day.
Boogity boo.
Just kidding.
Boogity.
Just kidding.
Boogity is pulling his strings.
Boogity?
Boogity.
Boo.
Just kidding.
Boogity.
Kidding.
Boogity.
Kidding.
Boo.
Kidding.
Later.
What's he doing now?
I think he's taking a nap on the ceiling.
He's tired. He's had a hard day.
No time to waste. Walter, come in.
He joins the family at the table.
Sit down.
Madalinska waves her hands beside her crystal ball, which fills with haze. Mr. Boogity's image appears inside.
It's Boogity.
I see the past. I see Boogity. I see him living in your house, making all kinds of trouble for everyone. And two other ghosts, who are not so bad.
It's Widow Miriam.
And Jonathan. Me and Corn made friends with him.
Good for you. That guy again.
He just won't leave us alone.
It's not fair.
Corwin's right. The boys did destroy his magic cloak.
Easier said than done.
What do you mean by that?
Magic cloaks are not so easy to destroy.
Forget it. He's not in the house. And unless he gets his cloak back, he can never return. Right now, he's trapped between the real world and the spirit world. Waiting, waiting. It's like waiting for a bus. It's never going to come.
Then what's the problem?
Mrs. Davis, he's trying to get out.
He still wants Marion. And he wants something here in this house.
Well, he can't come in. I mean, you said he can't come back into the house.
Maybe he'll send someone else.
on, he can control from the spirit world.
Carlton enters.
Hello, everybody. I'm so hungry, I could eat a horse.
He eats snacks from his pocket. Madalinska and Witherspoon leave.
But how does Mr. Boogity make Dad do these things?
I don't know. Maybe it's a remote control gizmo.
Like for the TV?
Mm-hmm. I don't believe this. Don't give up. It's too soon to say who's going to win. And besides, your father is still fighting him.
She starts her motorcycle and drives away with Witherspoon. Nighttime. In the bedroom, Eloise sleeps in a chair. A string tied to her ankle connects to Carlton's foot. He squirms in bed as he sleeps. Lifting her sleep mask, Eloise glances at him. She lowers the mask and leans her head back. As Carlton rises into the air, the string pulls his wife's leg. He floats to an upright position, and his feet slide into his shoes. Carlton moves away, dragging his wife in her chair behind him. She struggles to reach the string tied to her ankle. Standing, Eloise hops to the door and frees herself. Jennifer joins her mom in the hallway. As Carlton walks by, the boys step out of their room.
Boys.
They watch their dad.
Right.
The family follows Carlton. Corwin aims a flashlight. Eloise walks ahead, leaving the kids behind.
Stay back.
Jennifer follows.
Stay back.
Corwin follows. Ari looks at the empty hall, then walks after the others. Passing through the kitchen, Carlton steps to the basement door. Eloise and the kids follow close behind. Carlton bumps into the closed door. He backs up, and the door opens. The family follows him through. Outside, Elmer steps out of his car. Wearing a gorilla costume, he grabs his suitcase from the back seat. He sets the suitcase on the hood of the vehicle.
You're gonna get it now, Carlton.
Putting on the gorilla mask, he grabs the suitcase and approaches the house. In the basement, Carlton grabs the old key, which starts to glow green. His family watches. Grinning, Carlton looks to the side. The glowing green portal appears nearby.
It's the door!
He moves closer and kneels in front of it. Inserting the key, Carlton opens a small, glowing door. He crawls halfway inside.
Are we all having the same nightmares?
Carlton emerges with a black garment.
Oh my gosh.
It's the cloak!
Dad found Boogity's cloak!
Facing away from his family, Carlton stands. He sweeps the magic cloak over his shoulders.
Carlton, maybe you'd better take that thing off.
With a glowing green outline, he faces them.
Uh-oh.
Boogity boo!
They flee. Outside, Lynch starts to climb the porch, then paces away.
See, the thing is, Davis, I just don't like you very much. No, that's wrong. Now, you see, Davis, I'm trying to be a nice guy about this, so why don't you just... get out. Okay, no, not get out. Too strong. Why don't you just leave, huh?
He looks to the house. Inside, the family runs from Carlton. Outside, Lynch creeps to a window and peers in.
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
Good Lord. Bonehead up to now.
Wearing the gorilla costume, Elmer walks up the porch steps. Lynch notices and stares wide-eyed. He hunches down slightly in the bushes. Inside, the family runs into a room.
Ah! 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 Ah!
They shut the door. Carlton passes through the wall into the room. The door opens and the family runs out. Elmer enters the dark house. He looks around. He closes the front door. Setting down his suitcase, he cautiously walks up the main staircase. The family hurries into a room, and Eloise turns on the light. Carlton passes through the wall beside them.
It's him!
Boogity!
They climb on the bed.
Boogity!
Carlton fires electricity from his hand, and the bed rocks. He makes items around the room shake. Outside, Lynch looks to the upper floor. Elmer leans his ear to the bedroom door. Carlton makes a frame fall off the wall. His eyes dart about, and he turns to the door. Elmer enters in his gorilla costume. Carlton glares at him, then grins. Elmer makes a mocking gesture with his hands and thumps his chest. Carlton briefly takes on a serious expression, then smiles again. He shoots electricity, turning a lamp into a vase with flowers. Elmer stares. Carlton looks off, and green flashes of light leave flowers around the lamp and a small table.
He's making Daddy laugh.
Boogity.
More flowers appear, covering a shelf and the door.
He's saving you.
Green flashes leave flowers on the wall and bed frame. Ari and Eloise clap. Grinning, Carlton scratches his nose. Flowers cover the vanity. Waving the glowing cloak, Carlton causes bubbles to float around the room. The cloak falls off Carlton's shoulders, and the green glow fades to a single speck. Carlton wears a dazed expression. The green speck swirls in front of Elmer's face, and he swats at it. The speck flies out the window, and Lynch watches it float away.
Good grief! What in the world?
Inside.
You certainly have learned a few things. Those are some tricks.
How did I get here? How did all these flowers get here?
Wow, Dad.
It was?
Boy, I wish I knew how you did that one with the green lights.
Elmer, I am so proud of you.
You are? Why?
You helped exercise Carl.
He did?
I did?
Exercise?
Carlton flexes. Jennifer hugs him as they all smile. In the kitchen, Eloise quickly hangs the cloak on a coat rack by the door.
Oh, honey, did you want some more pie?
No. Thank you, honey. Was I really floating in the air?
It was really weird, Dad.
Yeah? Gee, I wish I could still do that. That sounds great.
Certainly was colorful.
Mr. Boogity wanted you to bring him his cloak, honey.
Oh, sure, right. So we could get back into the real world? No way, Jose. In fact, now that we have his cloak, we can get rid of it once and for all.
But Madalinska said you couldn't.
Madalinska. Madalinska's a fortune teller. What does she know? And this time, we'll burn it.
Stepping to the door, he spots an empty hanger gently swinging on the coat rack.
Eloise? Where did you put the magic cloak?
Jennifer and Elmer look at Eloise, who stares at Carlton. In town, Lynch holds something under his jacket. He glances around, then peeks at the glowing cloak.
So, this is the secret of your success, eh, Davis? Magic. Well,
too can play the same game, my friend. I'll make you sorry that you and your family ever came to Lucifer Falls.
Standing outside his store, he grins. Daytime. In the town square, people in a variety of costumes walk around attractions and rides. A banner reads, "Welcome to Lucifest, the only carnival with a third eye." At a table, Madalinska and a man gamble using tarot cards. People throw balls at a game booth. Wearing a pink gown and holding a wand, Jennifer steps off a carousel with her brothers. Ari wears a creepy bat costume, and Corwin wears a devil costume.
Hey, let's go get some popcorn!
Yeah! Hi, Mom!
The boys wave. A man in a pirate outfit wears a fake parrot on his shoulder. He hits it. Eating popcorn, the Davis kids join Lazarus, who wears a cowboy outfit. He holds a ventriloquist puppet.
Hello, boys and girls. How are you? Watch this. A glass of water, please.
Lazarus pours water into the puppet's mouth.
Ice cream!
Witherspoon wears a snowman outfit.
Cold ice cream! Cooling and refreshing! Ice cream!
The kids approach.
Good afternoon, Mr. Witherspoon.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Hooter. What can I get for you?
Mrs. Hooter's smile fades. She and Jennifer notice they have the same pink costume.
I'll have one of those, please.
Ah, excellent choice.
I just love chocolate.
Chocolate surprise.
Thank you.
She eats some.
And what's the surprise? Coconut?
Onions.
Yum.
The kids leave.
Tasty, no? Ice cream! All flavors! Ice cream!
Elmer wears his gorilla costume.
Hi, kids. Isn't this some carnival? Seems like everybody in the world is here, huh?
Not everybody.
They look at Lynch's closed store.
Ah, bad attitude. Where's your mom and dad anyway?
In the store, come on.
Aha!
The toy phone rolls to a girl.
Why don't you answer it?
She shakes her head, then answers.
Hello?
Ho, 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 little girl.
Is this Santa?
No, this is the Spirit Master. What's your name?
Linda.
Well, Linda, who would you like to talk to?
Nobody.
Oh, no.
It's him!
A person in a cloak fires lightning. In the graveyard, glowing ovals flicker between the two pieces of the statue. In Gag City, the cloaked person fires lightning toward the Davis family and the guests.
It's Mr. Boogity.
Lynch reveals himself.
Mr. Lynch.
What's he doing here?
The guests leave.
Good of you to come after all, Mr. Lynch. Love the costume.
Daddy, he's wearing Mr. Boogity's magic cloak.
It's mine now.
You stole it from us.
You people think you're so smart, fooling everybody into liking you, making believe you're stupid.
Why would we make believe?
Mr. Lynch, we don't have to fight. We can be friends.
Oh, sure we can, Davis. Easy for you to say. After you humiliate me in public and steal the carnival right out from under me.
No, now, wait a minute.
No, you wait!
He shoots electricity at the floor.
Okay.
Mr. Big City Franchise Sneak. Ever since you came into town, Davis, it's been one thing after another. Don't think I don't know how you've turned everyone against me.
I don't know who's this guy.
You stay out of this. Very clever, Davis. Very clever.
Lynch waves at a wax figure.
How you?
Its head turns to face him.
Use this magic cloak to weasel your way into Lucifer Falls.
He waves, and the figure returns to normal.
And become mayor of Lucifest.
Daddy would never do anything like that.
Mr. Lynch, that cloak is evil.
Oh, right. Like it's so evil, I should take it off and give it to you, right, Davis? Fat chance. I've got it now, and I intend to use it. No more Mr. Nice Guy, folks. This cloak will give me power. Nobody laughing at me behind my back. People will respect me. I'll have friends again.
Mr. Lynch, you're lonely.
Ha! That's rich.
You don't need a magic cloak to make friends.
No, if you just give people a chance.
Stop being so mean.
Mr. Lynch, we'll be your friends.
The kids look at Carlton.
What about them?
They nod weakly.
Mm-hmm. No, don't look at me. I'm just visiting.
Carlton hits Elmer.
Yeah, well, sure. Yep. Yeah. Be your friend.
Lynch shakes his head.
No, it's a trick. Yeah, it's one of your stupid little gags, isn't it, Davis?
No, it isn't.
Wait,
really?
In the graveyard, Boogity's ghost stands between the halves of the statues.
Lynch, the cloak. Bring me the cloak.
No, Mr. Lynch, don't do it. Don't listen to him. Give
no,
it to us.
No, Lynch, now! I want that cloak, now!
Lynch starts to glow.
Oh, great.
Mr. Lynch has been boogity-ized.
With his hair standing upright, Lynch spins rapidly. He stops facing the family and raises his arms.
Marion!
Oh, no, not again.
He turns away.
Mr. Lynch, don't go.
Lynch fires electricity, and the family freezes in place.
Boogity!
He brings the witch and werewolf wax figures to life. The vampires come to life. Jack the Ripper and the female figures start to move. A mad scientist figure clutches the large bow tie on his neck. The wax explorer in the large pot moves a skeleton's hand off his shoulder. Lynch grins at the family. In the graveyard, Boogity's ghost smiles. Wearing their goofy disguises, the wax figures leave Gag City. The family follows them outside.
Gentlemen?
At the carnival, the vampire wax figure takes flowers from a woman's basket. The werewolf tears up a bag of popcorn, then digs in the popcorn maker. The vampire and explorer menace the woman with flowers. Eloise tries to stop the werewolf. Wearing a snorkeling mask, the explorer stumbles around and throws flowers. Carlton follows the vampire.
Please don't do that. Please.
Eloise tries to stop the mad scientist.
Stop! Stop!
With a glowing green outline, Lynch leaves the Gag City store. He glances toward the carnival, then walks the other way.
Carlton!
You're really being unbelievably rude about this. Come on.
The wax figures surround Carlton, Eloise, and Elmer. The figures freeze in place. Near the storefront, Corwin spots Lynch leaving.
Ari, come on.
His brother joins him, and they follow Lynch. At the carnival.
You were terrible.
I don't get this.
Let's go stop.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, okay. Oh, that was close. Close.
Carlton carries the werewolf figure. Dark clouds fill the sky. Near the graveyard, Corwin and Ari watch Lynch walk through the gate. They follow after him.
Cemetery, Corwin.
I know.
The brothers stop at the entrance. Glowing green particles pull the statue of William Hanover back together. Ari gapes.
Corwin, did you see that?
Lynch approaches the statue and takes off the cloak.
What's he doing? He's putting the cloak on the statue.
He hangs the cloak on the statue's arm. the stone face turns into Boogity's face. The stone hand falls off as a rotted hand grips the magic cloak. Electricity surges over the statue, and pieces tumble to the ground.
Mr. Lynch!
Lynch wears a confused look. He spots the boys. Lynch jerks toward the statue. The brothers pull him away as Boogity fires electricity at them. Lightning flashes on his hat and shoots toward the sky, darkening it. Bits of stone fall away from the statue, leaving Boogity standing on the pedestal. He puts on his glowing cloak.
You can't hide from me, little boys. I'm coming to get you.
Nighttime. In the town square, party lights and rides illuminate the carnival. A small band plays in the gazebo. A man spins a flaming stick. Mrs. Hooter and others ride the carousel, while some people clean up the area. Leaving Gag City, Carlton picks up the Explorer wax figure.
Okay, big fella, you're the last.
Nice try. Give me next.
I love this town, Carlton. Even the dummies are dummies.
The boys and Lynch run over.
He's coming! We all saw him!
Mr. Boogity? What, is this the real Mr. Boogity?
It's the genuine article, Davis. I swear, he scared me half to death.
Carlton looks around the group.
No, don't worry, darling. Daddy will take care of everything.
We have to alert the town.
It's too late! Look, he's back already!
A green light zips over, and Boogity appears on top of the gazebo.
A carnival!
Mr. Boogity!
A carnival!
Mr. Boogity.
How nice. Would you like me to show you some tricks?
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
He shoots lightning, causing game stands to spark and topple. Elmer watches beside Lynch.
Holy cow. Boogity, boogity.
The carousel spins rapidly. Boogity fires electricity, and popcorn flies from the dispenser.
Boogity, boogity!
Another booth blows over, and the carousel speeds up.
Hang on, Mrs. Hooter!
Carl, he's ruining everything!
Madalinska's bike drives off.
My motorcycle! I'll get you for this!
She flees as lightning strikes her card table. The ventriloquist puppet looks at Lazarus.
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
It moves by itself.
We've got to do something about this, Eloise.
More carnival stands blow away as lightning strikes them. Townspeople cower.
We'll never get his magic cloak back again.
Carlton, come back! Where are you going?
I'm honorary mayor, Eloise. I have to say something to him.
Daddy!
The family follows.
Carlton!
Did you miss me, your old friend?
Excuse me, Boogity? What do you want around here? Why don't you leave us alone? I'm all right, honey, I'm all right. You have your cloak, why don't you just go?
Stay.
Carlton, no!
All right, Eloise.
Marion!
Really? I'm all right.
Don't worry.
At last, I found you.
How'd you do this?
Please, no.
They notice Boogity staring.
Boogity, boogity, boo!
He zaps Eloise.
Come to me!
Boogity sends out green energy, and Eloise rises into the air. Carlton stands frozen.
Don't go! Mommy!
Eloise!
Eloise!
She maintains her rigid pose as she floats higher.
Eloise, don't listen to him.
Jennifer holds onto her father as green energy holds him in place. Lynch stares wide-eyed. Wearing the pilgrim costume, Eloise slowly spins in the air toward Boogity. White streaks mark her frizzy, upright hairdo.
Eloise! Come on, Eloise!
A green glow surrounds her as she joins Boogity. Boogity looks at the crowd. He touches Eloise's cheek, then raises his hand. They disappear, shrinking into a small green light that zips away.
My gosh!
Mom!
The glowing force holding Carlton fades. Sitting before her crystal ball, Madalinska looks at the others.
We must act quickly. The longer Mrs. Davis is gone, the harder it will be to get her back. Maybe impossible.
Tell us what to do.
We want our mother back.
I'll do anything.
Can you really make this seance thing work?
It depends.
On what?
Whether or not you all believe it can work.
We believe.
Yeah, we believe it.
We do. Of course we believe it can work.
Yes.
Okay, so let's do it. Call somebody.
Who?
You're the gypsy, don't you know?
You don't understand. You have to tell me who you want.
Can we call Mom?
No good.
Why?
She's on the Boogity spell. Doesn't anyone know any ghosts?
We know somebody. Jonathan!
Of course, the widow Marion's little boy.
Madalinska holds up her palms, and they all join hands. Haze fills the crystal ball.
Jonathan, are you there? Will you speak to your friends, Corin and Ari?
Jonathan, hurry up!
Are you there, Jonathan?
Hello, Ari. Hello, Corwin.
Jonathan.
Hello, Corwin.
We need your help.
It's Mr. Boogity, isn't it?
He took Mom.
I know.
You've got to help us.
There must be something you can do.
He wears a thoughtful look.
Wait a minute.
He disappears.
But...
Shh. We must be patient.
I feel terrible. This whole thing is my fault.
No. It's Boogity's.
No, it's my fault. If I hadn't been such a...
All right. Enough.
Jonathan returns.
I'm back. I had to ask someone.
Who?
He told me not to tell.
Well, what did he say?
Do you still have the key?
Dad, the key. You still have the key?
Yeah, Dad. Oh. Do you still have the key?
Carlton pulls it out.
You mean this key?
That's the one. Take the key and go to the broken statue at the graveyard. The key will open the doorway to the underworld. Its power will take Mr. Boogity back.
Is that all?
No.
That's what I figured.
Be very careful. If Mr. Boogity is holding on to anyone else, they will go down with him and won't be able to come back. Bye.
The ghost disappears. Later, the group arrives at the foggy graveyard. Lazarus points at the remains of the statue.
There.
They walk closer.
Mr. Davis, I've been such a fool. This is all my fault.
No, it isn't, Mr. Lynch. It's no one's fault.
Carlton looks at the key. Wearing a long coat, Jennifer holds his hand as they climb the small hill to the base of the statue. The others wait behind.
Okay, honey.
Jennifer moves to the side, and Carlton touches her cheek.
Ready?
Yep.
He steps away, and the key starts to glow red. Carlton brings the key to a small glowing hole on the base of the statue. He pushes it in, then lets go. The others watch as the stone breaks. Red light pours out from within, and glowing energy swirls around the graveyard. Pulsing green ovals give way to Mr. Boogity and Eloise. The boys stare.
Eloise.
Boogity faces Carlton.
You've opened the portal, but it's too late. Marion is coming with me.
William Hanover!
What is this?
Why do you take it that woman? Am I not the real Marion?
Boogity looks at Jennifer's pilgrim outfit, then glances at Eloise.
Marion!
He lets go of Eloise, and Jennifer runs.
Jennifer!
Boogity grabs her. Carlton grabs Jennifer's other arm, and the group helps him pull.
Oh, never let everybody pull!
light swirls around Boogity and past the group. Boogity's green glow turns red, and his grip loosens on Jennifer's arm. She breaks free, and Carlton holds her. Boogity fades, turning to a red glow as he gets sucked into the portal. Carlton holds onto Jennifer and Eloise. A red beam of light shines upward, and the stone pieces reassemble into the statue.
Very interesting.
I'll say.
Mommy!
Oh, Mommy. Jennifer, we're safe.
He even took his magic cloak with him.
Good riddance.
Well, guys, I think that's the last we're gonna see of Mr. Boogity.
I don't think so.
The group warily looks back. The glowing keyhole on the statue's base disappears.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Look, Jennifer's coat.
Come on, let's get out of here.
The boys grab the coat and run after the others. A close view shows the statue's face. Flashes illuminate the foggy graveyard. Cut to black. Audio description by WGBH with funding by Disney, voiced by David Kane.